Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution made possible, as always, by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. Consider KPP's Select Growth and Income Program, handpicked mutual funds for flexibility, strength, and diversity. KPP only invests in no-load, no-transaction-fee mutual funds, selecting from thousands of funds and hundreds of mutual fund families. To find out more, just click on the Investments tab on investtalk.com. End of commercial. And now, today's Invest Talk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday edition of Invest Talk. It is March 24th, 2016. Above average investing for the average investor is our theme, and we talk about it every day. And it doesn't matter if you're just beginning or you're an experienced investor. We all can learn more. It doesn't, all those questions people ask are important. So don't be hesitant to ask any questions that might be on your mind. That's financial. Now, as you've noticed, there's no shortage of information out there. Much of it is opinion or just out of proportion to its importance. You really have to filter through all that noise. And it's very hard to prioritize financial news stories. If you're like me and that's most of what you gather all day long, over time you start to know what is important and what isn't. I mean, here are some of the headlines right now. U.S. corporate debt ratings near 15-year low. Oil milestone. Fracking fuels half of U.S. output. China's biggest foreign takeover is under fire in the U.S. Or top Fed official says April rate hike could happen. Now, do they tell you anything important that you should act on? Any of those? Are they? Which ones are important? Which ones are not? I can tell you one right off the bat that's not important. China's biggest foreign takeover is under fire in the U.S. That's not important. Not to investors. I mean, it might be important to, politics, but not to investors. But let's look at the Fed story. The Fed's top official says April rate hike could happen. Let's look at that. I wrote in the Macro Commentary about that before this article, so it has nothing related to it. But I wrote about at the beginning of the year, the Fed said they targeted 4 interest rate increases for this year, 2016. But after the most recent meeting, they said they're targeting 2. But there was very little difference in the state of the economy from January, when they said they're going to raise it 4 times this year, to March, when they changed it down to 2. So why did they change it down from 4 to 2? Why did they change? Inflation picked up a little bit. So if inflation picked up a little bit, wouldn't that? And the job creation still is robust. Why would they not increase the rates? That didn't change. It got, as a matter of fact, it went in the direction that would make you think they would increase more rates, not decrease. Now, I speculate that maybe it has something to do with the stock market. Remember what happened the first time they raised rates in late December? What happened in January? The market corrected 10%, worst January in history, after their first move. Worst stock market January in history. Doesn't this suggest that maybe the Fed looks at the stock market and its reaction to what they do and make that part of their policy is what they're doing, depending on what the stock market does? And the stock market, mind you, is a leading economic indicator. So why wouldn't the Fed pay attention to it? Now, you'll never, ever hear from the Fed that they are watching the stock market prices and are setting policy based on that. You'll never, no hint ever. But the evidence is pretty clear that they do pay attention to it. Now, do you have questions about the Fed or the effect of interest rates on investor strategies? 888-99-CHARTER is our anytime number, or on any money-related questions you can call. 888-992-4278.
Hi, Steve. This is Dave from Pennsylvania again. I wanted to follow up on a question I had earlier in the week, if you wouldn't mind, regarding trend lines. I appreciate what you're saying about the trend lines need 3 points to extend them outward. My question follow-up would be then, to the right of those, or extends upon in the future trends, what information does that give you? It may give you resistance and on the top and bottom and ceilings, but can you potentially get buying points or selling points if it drops below the bottom trend? You may want to consider selling or something like that. I'm interested in what information that will give you as well. Thanks again for the show.
So we were talking about trend lines. You called earlier in the week and how to draw them. And I said you need to connect 3 points on a one-year chart of whatever stock or index you're looking at to develop a straight line trend line for that equity or index, okay? So when you make that line, his question now is, well, what if it breaks above or below that line? What is that telling us? Well, if you're in an upward trend, and your 3 points are connecting three bottoms as it moves up. Market goes up, comes down, goes up further, comes down a little bit more, goes down up further, comes down again. And maybe those three lines you can connect on the bottom. And if it breaks below those lines, that means there's a possible trend change to the downside. Now, the same thing is true on the upside. When the market is heading down and there's a trend going down or the stock or the index, and so you connect 3 lines and that downward movement over a one-year period is down, so that trend line is downward pointing, slanting downward. When the stock price breaks above that trend line, maybe a change direction of trend to the upside. And a lot of investors and traders use that as an indicator of a change in direction. Now, I use it too, but I use that in conjunction with other things, not just all by itself. If you've been to our conferences, you'll notice that we've said many, many times, don't just take one thing and think that that's the gospel. That's the thing that you're going to use and it's going to work every time. No, that's so untrue, it's not even worth mentioning. Always have a number of factors. Okay, let's say it breaks a trend line. That's a support and resistance level. But maybe there's other supports and resistance levels also coming into play. Okay, maybe the 20-day moving average or the 20 and 50-day moving average or the 200-day moving average. Maybe, you know, the on-balance volume, you know what that is saying that there's more buyers on up days and there are sellers on down days. Maybe that's more important. See, there's a lot of things to look at. You just don't look at one thing. But that trend lines are a good piece of data to watch. It is. Okay. Americans who retire or change jobs face one of the most important questions of their financial lives. What should they do with their 401ks? Where should they put, where, and once, and if they roll it over to an IRA, which is the recommended thing to do, in my opinion, is then what do you buy? What do you purchase with your IRA? That's going to be our main talking point today. Does anyone around here remember stagflation? Bank of America is warning its investors about the possible scenario where we're going to move into stagflation. Let's go over what stagflation is. And do you remember what years that we had stagflation? I do. Do you? Okay, and retirement in comfort is very easily achieved. You just got to do 3 things. What are those 3 things? Having trouble with the new chip in the credit card, the new credit cards or that new chip? The credit card companies are having a lot of trouble, and so are the retailers. It was supposed to be effective last October. What's the problem? Who's causing the problems? Remember, that chip is supposed to be safer, more protection for you and me. Why? Only 37% of the retailers have it in use. What's the problem? Just something that I think we should talk about. 888-99-CHARTER is our number, 888-992-4278. The market was mixed. It was down for most of the day. At about midday, it started to move up. Slowly kept going up and just continued up for the rest of the day. Ended up at the daily high. Still mixed for the day. The Dow was up 14 points. The Nasdaq was up 5. And the S&P was down 1. So, it's not, you know, and the holiday is tomorrow for the market. So, it's not trading tomorrow. So, this is really much to do about nothing. We didn't have very much economic data come out this week. Next week, we're going to have a ton of economic data, including on Friday, the jobs report for March. So next week we'll have a lot of information to deal with. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and this is Invest Talk, made possible by our firm, KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. We manage money for individuals, and we do it across the country. So no matter where you're listening, we can help you if you like. You're invited to our upcoming free wealth webinar, 6:30, April 13th. It's in 1 hour. It's called Survival and Opportunities in a Volatile Market. It was pretty popular when it was our Saturday morning wealth conference. We have to pare it down to an hour, but I still think it's worthwhile. Click on Invest Talk tab to sign up.
Yes. Hi, Steve. Hi, Justin. This is Raphael from Jersey. I'm calling about a biotech stock. I know that field has gotten real beaten up, but I feel real good about this one. Want your thoughts on Celgene, CELG, particularly what you thought their prospects were for the next 5 years. Company put information out that they are very aggressive at increasing their sales within the next 5 years, and they bought a formulation called Ozanimod, which I think is going to have really, really breakthrough information coming out as it goes through the phase process. All right. Well, thanks very much. I've been long for almost 2 years, and I just want to know what you guys think. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, this is Celgene. By the way, he's from New Jersey, and New Jersey is the Garden State. I lived in New Jersey for, I don't know, 7 years when I graduated from college, graduated from California here. My first real job was in New York City. And New Jersey is really a garden state. It's a beautiful state. There's industrial section which isn't, but most of the state is pretty spectacular, just so you know. Anyway, Celgene develops therapeutics to treat cancer, immune, inflammatory-related diseases by regulating cells, genes, and proteins. It's a $78 billion company. It's going to make $5.72 this year. That's 21% higher than last year. And next year, it's going to be up 27% to $7.24. If that is true, that makes this $100 stock trading at about a 15 PE, and the five-year average is 13 to 33. So it's a pretty good value. Return on equity is a very healthy 62%. And the stock hasn't been performing at all, by the way. In the last year, it's down for the year. 12 months ago, it was higher than it is now. It got as high as 140 or close to it in July, and now here's 100, down, you know, 30-something percent. That's a pretty big, healthy fall. I think it looks like a bargain. I think this is where you want to buy it. Now, it's bottomed at around $96, and it did that in February, and they retested it about 4 or 5 days ago. And what's interesting is it's not moving up with the market. Why? Because remember, I've told you over and over now that growth stocks are not in favor. Value stocks are in favor. But for this stock, it looks like it's going to become a very good value. If they make the numbers they say they're making, they're growing their earnings 20% or higher, and that's increasing, not decreasing. Remember, it's a $78 billion company. It looks very healthy. It doesn't pay a dividend, which is surprising. But it looks pretty healthy to me. I kind of like it at this price, personally. And if you want it to be tight, you want to be risk adverse. If it drops below $95, you can use that as your out and wait till it calms down. Maybe you can get it cheaper. But I do think it's a buy, not a sell. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and this is Invest Talk, 1 hour conference call about your money. I'm open for any money questions you might have. 888-99-CHART. Chart. We're going to go talk to Dave in Los Cabos. How you doing, Dave?
Very good, Steve. Love the show. I was calling about the dollar. Living in Mexico a little over a year ago, I was getting 14 and change, 14 point something for a dollar. Mm-hmm. Recently, it was as high as 18. Now it's 17 and a half or so, 17.4. But tacos, the price of tacos stays the same. So I was just kind of curious how you see the future of the dollar. Is it topped out and going to keep dropping? Or
no, I think we're going to see it's been moving sideways against all the major currencies in the world for about a year, a little over a year. It's gone up and down in a range, just up and down, but mostly sideways. In that range, you know, it peaked. It really, a little over a year ago, it really marched up about 10, 12% against other currencies. And then from then on, we got sideways movement. So I think you're going to see a lot of sideways movement against the peso. Not anything dramatic either way. Neither way.
When the dollar drops in value, doesn't that make gold and oil tend to go up in value?
Correct. Yes. Yes. And we saw that. The dollar had... If you look at the dollar, I'm looking at a chart of a dollar right now. It peaked in November, just last year, okay? And this is the UUP. UUP is a pro shares U.S. dollar index, and it was at $26. This ETF was at $26 then. Then it fell up to four days ago to about $24.50. So now it's $24.93. So it's starting to make a little comeback in a week. But that's the range it's been in. It's been that kind of range. So, yeah, it will fluctuate. And if it goes down, and it peaked back in November, as soon as it started to peak and start to come down, gold started to go up, and oil stopped falling. So, yeah. If the dollar gets really weak, you'll see gold and oil and all the commodities go up in price. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's just going to stay in this trading range. I think gold will go up because of different reasons. And oil will probably come back down from its peak of $40 and go back down the mid-30s and maybe go up to the 40s again. You know, I think you're seeing range-bound. I think that's what you're going to have to expect, range-bound in a lot of things. Okay, Dave?
Very good. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening down there. Appreciate it. 888-99-CHART is our number. Love to talk to you. Love to talk to anybody that likes to talk about money. I really enjoy the subject myself. So what should you put your rollover IRA in? What should you invest? First of all, if you have a 401k and you left your employer and you have an old 401k still there, you need to roll it into an IRA. Okay, that makes the most sense. Because there's several reasons for that. First, we get flexibility. You can invest anything you want. Second, it's cheaper. It's cheaper. 401ks are not cheap. They're kind of on the expensive side because you're buying mutual funds that has a fee, but also you have costs of maintaining the 401k. So it usually is much cheaper or significantly cheaper rolling into an IRA. And from an IRA, you can be a lot more flexible. For instance, in a 401k, you might have a choice of bond funds in it if you wanted to go to bonds, but you don't have any choice. You don't have the choice of buying individual bonds, but you could in an IRA. And as you know, I like the buying of the individual bonds over bond funds. You can also buy exotic stuff if you want to, which I don't recommend, like precious metals, real estate, you know, art. You know you can do that with your IRA? Now, it's not easy, but you can. So I'm just saying that it makes perfect sense to roll your old 401ks into IRAs. Whether you hire a manager to manage the money or you do it yourself, it still makes a lot of sense to do it. And there's an article, a related article to this on our website if you want to see more details about it. And if you read that article, you'll see that it coincides with almost exactly what I've been saying for forever, so it kind of supports my point of view, which is always nice to find some support out there with somebody else. 888-99-CHART, let's talk to Matthew in Kansas. How you doing, Matthew? Uh-oh, we lost Matthew. Kansas dropped off. He wanted to talk about Altria Group. Remember, it used to be called the old Philip Morris, and then they split it between Philip Morris and Altria. Altria Group manufactures cigarettes and other tobacco products. Matthew, are you back on? How you doing?
Good. How are you, Steve?
Good. Thanks for calling back.
Hey, my question is kind of tricky. I have Kimmel, like you're talking about how Trim, my basis is $18 a share, and I think I need to get out, and I was going to see if I should get out of that and switch to POT, or do I just hold on for the dividend?
Well, can you wait till after a break, Matthew? I know you're on a cell phone in Kansas, sounds like. I don't know if you can wait, but we have to take a break. I'm sorry, I have to break, but I will answer this question. So if you can't stay on, you can always get on the podcast. But I will answer this question. You're listening to Invest Talk. Is there a money topic you want to talk about, you want to bring up? Go ahead, 888-99-CHART. You can call me right now.
Good advice. Spread your money around. Stick to a well-thought-out plan for carefully divvying up your money so no single calamity will destroy your portfolio. Want to talk about it? 888-99-CHART is how to get through right now.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast on the next Invest Talk. Three key questions to ask when considering an ETF. There are over 1,500 ETFs available on the market. So how do you make a smart choice? That's our main talking point on the next Invest Talk, and we hope you'll join us then. We continue now with this Thursday, March 24th Invest Talk. We hope you'll join in. 888-99-CHART is how to get through anytime.
Okay, Matthew, thank you for holding on. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Altria, you're right. Your instinct is right as far as, boy, it's really done very well, and it's getting pretty pricey, and it looks like it's starting to roll over a little bit. So I think your instinct is correct. I think you might want to hold on to it till it breaks below, I would say, $59 a share. It's now $60.88. I think it will hold up, but if it doesn't, I think that's the get-out price. It does pay a very nice dividend, and you bought it at $18 or something a share, so your dividend's probably about 5 or 6%, right?
Right.
Because right now it's...
It's kind of a core holding, like you said, a blue chip kind of stock, and it's still doing what it wanted, but it's just getting up there in price.
Yeah, it's the value is no longer there. It's a very good stock. Matthew, you can't argue with the fact that it's solid and you're going to get that dividend. You could put it in a drawer, ignore it for 10, 15 years, and this stock will be higher, and you would have collected all those dividends over all that length of time. You could do that. There's nothing wrong with that. Maybe the solution is take half off the table. Maybe that's the solution.
You know? Okay. And very overweighted in my portfolio right now because of that.
You know, and that's a really good reason to rebalance. We talked about rebalancing toward the end of the year and the beginning of the year. This is what rebalancing is all about. You get to sell off your big winners, or at least sell them back, because they are big winners. You know, and you don't want to wait till they become losers. You know, so and then go buy something else. So I would do that. I think it makes sense in this kind of market. I really do. Thank you for the call, Matthew. Thank you for holding on. I appreciate it. Let's go to Mark in Mountain View. How you doing, Mark?
Pretty good, Steve. Thank you for taking my call. Love your show.
Thank you.
I wanted your opinion on a stock called COH, Coach.
Mm-hmm.
What would you buy it, sell it, or hold it?
Okay, Coach is the high-end leather handbag accessory retailer. Okay, they are they're almost an $11 billion company, so it's not a small company. It's very high-end stuff, products that they make. They're going to make $1.90 this year. That's a little bit less than last year, $1.92, and they were making $3 a share the year before in 2014. So it has not done very well, but it is going to rebound next year to $2.10, up 11%. I would not buy this stock right now. It's too expensive. The PE is 22. Even going forward, the PE is still going to be in the high teens, and the growth rate is not very good. It's kind of flat to shrinking the last year, and just now, the most recent quarter was up 4%, the growth of sales. That's not know, that's not significant. So this should be selling at a, you know, no more than a 15 PE. And here it is at a 22 PE right now and a high teens PE based on next year's earnings. So I wouldn't buy it. If I owned it, I'd probably sell it. That's what I would do because it's just too expensive.
So, Steve, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do you typically buy a stock with a PE less than 10?
No, you can't really say that. I wish I could say that, Mark. The reason why you can't say that because PEs are very related to the industry that they're in. For instance, the retailer like we're talking about, the retail industry usually sells around a market PE of about 15. But if you're talking about tech stocks, their averages are in their 20s on the PEs. If you're talking about manufacturing, old-time manufacturing, their PEs are usually 10 or lower, just historically. So you kind of weigh it based, Mark, on what industry it is in. And I'm weighing this based on the clothing retail industry. And even though, you know, Coach is a high-end, and generally they have a little bit higher PEs than the regular retail because it's high-end and their profit margins are higher. But the sales, the improvement of sales and sales growth is just not there to justify more than a market PE for them. That's why there's a lot of things that go on in my mind when I do these stuff, you know, because I've been around this so long, I forget to mention all the other things that influence my decisions on how much the stock is worth or where it's going. And I'm not always right, Mark. Don't think I'm not a gospel guy here. I don't believe in, you know, I don't say, I'm pound the desk and I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth as far as I know, but I could be wrong, okay?
Sure.
Mark, I appreciate the call.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Thank you. Do you need real estate, a review? Do you need to talk to somebody about real estate you want to sell? You want to upgrade or downgrade or sell that investment property? Buy one? Well, we can help you with that. You know, Justin is a real estate broker in the office, and we have a team across the nation that specializes in high-end properties, personal properties and commercial properties. So if you're interested or have a need for that area, you can give us a call. If you want to do real estate reviews, we have a limited number. If you want to just talk about that, we're going to do it specifically on April 11th, reviews on real estate only. If you're interested, just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Justin or write real estate review. Send an email to him or me, and someone will get back to you.
We have a new webinar coming up April 13th that we hope you'll sign up for. But if you're an InvestTalk insider, you can listen to a whole library of past webinars on a whole range of investing topics. Sign up for free on InvestTalk.com. Just click on the InvestTalk tab.
Now, anybody remember stagflation? Now, early last year, the year before, I was talking about we might be headed into deflationary territory. And it certainly got close, but we never really did, not in this country. Other countries did, but not here. Now, Bank of America is warning some of its investors, some of its clients, about possible signs of stagflation. And stagflation was in the 1970s. What is stagflation? Slow growth or no growth, relatively high inflation, and relatively high unemployment. Now, we have the slow growth part. We really don't have any high inflation. We really don't have any unemployment, high unemployment. We don't. But it feels like it. We have, you know, a lot of underemployment out there. We definitely have slow growth. And their most recent couple of reports I've seen kind of hint that maybe inflation might be picking up a little bit. So could we go into stagflation? Is stagflation a terrible thing? Well, kind of it is. Kind of, yeah. See, because remember, there's slow growth, or, you know, slow economic growth. Therefore, corporations are not in a big rush to hire people or increase salaries. And if we get some inflation, that means your buying power with the same salary you have is going down. So it's not a good thing for anybody. For anybody. Corporations, individuals, the overall economy, we don't want stagflation. The question is how do you get out of stagflation if it does happen? Now, mind you, the Bank of America is just warning people that this is a possibility and that you might want to prepare your portfolios against stagflation. Now, I'm already preparing you for that by saying turn to value stocks versus growth stocks. Because in a stagflation environment, value would far outperform growth because there won't be much growth. Just thought I'd share that with you. 888-99-CHART. Our phone number is always open to your questions, whether you're new to investing or have a more complex issue. Call our number, 888-99-CHART, anytime.
Hi, Steve or Jeff. This is Dave from Boston. I'm looking at what I think of a value stock. The ticker symbol is TNH. Been having a rough time, been beat up for a while, but I don't see a whole lot of debt. I was wondering your opinion on it. Thank you.
Yeah, Terra Nitrogen, we talked about, I think, earlier in the week, and it is definitely a value stock, okay? We went over the reasons why it is. The current PE is 10, okay, and that's below. It's paying a very large dividend. It has a very good cash flow of $18 per share. It's a $105 stock. And return on equity is 81%, which is huge. I like 17% or higher. This is huge. Terra Nitrogen, everybody, manufactures fertilizer, nitrates, and that kind of stuff to improve crop yields and quality. So it's in the food kind of industry sector. And I think it's been beat up plenty. Looks like it's coming off a bottom. It has strong support around $90 a share. I think it's a value play. This is the kind of stock that I think will probably work better than growth. Now, if the whole market falls, these will fall too. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. I'm saying that they'll do better than growth stocks. And they have so far this year. If you look at growth versus value, which one's outperformed, and you'll see that value has. Now, this stock hasn't really done much other than get off the bottom, bumps off the bottom. But it looks like it's put in a very long-term bottom here. So, yeah, TNH, I kind of like it. I don't know if it can maintain that 11% dividend. I mean, it's pretty high. I mean, it's like a $10 dividend. And the cash flow is $18, but that's still a pretty darn high dividend. And their sales growth is kind of volatile right now, and it's been down in the last year. And just now, 2 quarters ago, it was up 11%. The most recent quarter was down 10%. So kind of volatile, that sales growth. Still, I think it's a value play at this point. 888-99-CHART, time for our Invest Talk Personal about the day-to-day money decisions that have lasting impact. Scams. Scams just don't die. You ever notice that? They just don't. Here's the three most popular scams. Grandparent scams. Oftentimes it involves someone calling an elderly person, claiming to be his or her grandchild, and that the kid needs money. He's in trouble, needs money, needs help from granddad. Now, the scammers are relying on old people not being all that with it, not being very good at determining fact from fiction. And unfortunately, it's a fact of life that that does happen. I have a father-in-law who has trouble with that right now, and he's all there, but he just feels, not, he could be scammed so easy. Anyways, another one, the IRS phone calls. That's been very popular. I've gotten, half a dozen on my phone, the IRS calling up and saying, "Yo, taxes, you're in big trouble. Call us. You need to take care of this right away." The IRS does not call anybody. They don't send emails to anybody. It does not happen. You get an email or a call from the IRS, ignore it. They don't do that. They will send you a letter, and then you call them at their offices. You don't even have to go that far. You can go to irs.gov and look them up and call the number. They'll tell you if you're in trouble or not. Another one is the three most popular: grandparents, IRS, and Microsoft Support Center. Microsoft calling you up and saying that your computer is infected with a virus, and they need, if you want them to fix it, they need remote access to it, and they'll fix it for you. Isn't that generous of them? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to get into your computer, and guess what they're going to do? They're going to take every personal, they're going to download your whole hard drive, They'll have everything you've ever put in it, and they're looking for credit card numbers, bank statements, anything you might have paid through the computer. They love it. Just love it. Okay, Microsoft doesn't call you and do that, okay? That doesn't happen. So don't fall for that either. If you have questions on this topic or any other money matter, send me a note, and that will come directly to me. All you have to do is click Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com, or you can get through to the phone by phone, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve or Justin. My name is Mike. I'm from Ohio, and I just want to call in and say I love your show. I listen to it all the time, and I actually just recently passed the Series 7 exam, and I think a big part of it was because what you guys talk about on the show, and I actually get to relate what I was learning to real-life examples. So just want to say thanks. Love the show. Keep doing what you're doing.
Gee, that was kind of nice.
We're glad you're with us on Invest Talk today. And whether you're 20-something or something just past retirement, we're here to help you make better investing and money decisions along the way. But we need to know what you need to know. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. My name is Jonathan, and I wanted you to take a look at the stock SM Energy Group, please. Thank you.
SM is in Mary. SM. SM Energy Company. It is a $1.2 billion company. And what it does is it engages exploration, production, and acquisition of oil and natural gas in onshore North America. I wouldn't buy this money. I wouldn't buy this stock with anybody's money. I would not. It's a $1.2 billion company, but it doesn't make money. In 2015, it lost 54 cents a share. 2016, it's going to lose $3.20 a share. In 2017, it's going to lose $2.36 a share. And one of my rules, as you know, is don't buy companies that don't make money. Don't buy them. Why? Why would you do it? Remember, let's pretend you're going to buy the entire company and you know it's going to lose money this year or next year. Would you buy it then? I don't know. It has debt, over 100% debt. Now, it has great cash flow, $13.11 a share cash flow. And maybe it'll survive. I'd have to check it more closely. How much is in the shale oil and how much of that debt is coming due? How quickly? And do they have the money to pay the debt? Can they refinance the debt? The sales are shrinking. It shrank 49% in the most recent quarter. It shrank about 40% for the whole year, sales. So I would not touch this. You don't need to. You don't need to guess that this company is going to be the big winner. Why? SM Energy, symbol SM. Our Invest Talk Anytime number is 888-99-CHART. I'm here to answer your questions, any money questions you have, 888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278. We're going to go talk to Bill in Santa Cruz. How you doing, Bill?
Hi, Steve. Thank you. Very good.
Thank you.
I want to know about United Healthcare, also to compare it to, it's not that similar of a stock, but HCP, which is a REIT.
HCP, of course, you know, a REIT is very different than, because it's not one stock, it owns and acquires and leases, the HCP owns and leases 1,100 healthcare-related facilities, whereas United Health is a healthcare provider. So they're very different in nature, okay?
Would you consider them to be both two things that you could hold simultaneously because they're not quite,
yes.
You know, they're
yes.
in the same sector?
They're in the same... there are different sectors in the same industry, the healthcare industry, but different sectors in the healthcare and different businesses completely. So, ACP is a much better value buy. It pays 7.3%, whereas United Health has had a pretty darn good move up in price. It's now $130 a share. And it's moved up about 18% in the last 2 months or so. But now it's a bit expensive. I mean, we're looking at a PE of 20, and then 5-year range is 9 to 20 for United Health. Why is it that way? Well, because the growth rate has been tricking up. 3 quarters ago, it was 11% sales growth. Then 2 quarters ago, up 27% growth rate. Now, the most recent quarter, up 30%. I can't keep that up at a $122 billion size company, but it looks pretty darn impressive. You would not buy United. Yeah. You would not buy United Health for the dividend, Bill, because it's only 1.6.
Right.
The other one, SNH, you would buy for the dividend. So I probably would not buy United Health because I think you're going to get a nice pullback, but it has clearly broken out to the upside. I'm just worried about the market we're in, the environment that we're in, not just the stock looks great. Okay.
Well, if we have a pretty good downturn and it drops, what point would you consider buying it again?
If it dropped down to about, I'm going to say, if it got dropped down to about $115 to $118 a share, I would like that would where I'd like to buy it. I don't know if I'd get down there, but that's where I'd like to buy it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Bill, thanks for the call.
Okay, very good.
Two very good stocks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for the call. Two very good, healthy stocks. Kind of like them. Okay, retirement. Very easy to achieve a comfortable retirement. Very easy. You only have to do a couple of few things. One, save more money. That's all you do. Save more money and then invest it. And number two, when you do invest it, don't chase stocks. That means if a stock has run up, don't buy it after it's already run up. Don't chase stocks. You do those two things over a long period of time, you're going to have a very comfortable retirement. If you don't have a long period of time left over, you got to keep working. Simple as that. I'll give you another little tidbit of advice. Don't overpay for financial advice. Don't overpay for it. You don't need to. Those three things. Save more money. Don't chase performance stocks. Don't chase performance. And don't overpay for advice. That's it. That's all the wisdom I have for today. I have one more quick talking point. Do you have remember those new chips on your credit cards? They were supposed to be in place and we're supposed to be using them last October. The credit card companies issued them and require that the retailers use these chips. If they don't, the credit card companies won't take the responsibility of fraud on any cards that are swiped and not the chip not being used. So it made the retailers responsible. Why? But they're only 37% of the retailers are using it. Why? One reason is because retailers wanted to wait till after Christmas and it was supposed to be implemented in October. So they waited until after Christmas. But a more important reason is that all those readers are supposed to be verified by the credit card companies and they haven't got around to doing it. So you're making the retailers responsible and yet they can't use it because you, the credit card company. Huh. Kind of a catch-22 there, I think. Anybody read that book? Catch-22? Our time is up. A reminder, our live webinar is coming up on April 13th, 6:30 to 7:30 Pacific Time, Survival Opportunities in a Volatile Market. It's free, but you do need to sign up at investtalk.com. Just click on the InvestTalk tab. And in case you didn't remember, I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. We manage money for individuals. We'd like to manage yours. For KPP and everybody at our office, including Justin Klein, we thank you for being with us today. And let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.